Oh, mistress mine, where are you roaming? Oh, stay and hear your true love's coming, that can sing both high and low. That can sing both high and low.
Pretty much every Shakespeare production tries to find ways to make itself somehow fresh and relevant to audiences already familiar with the play's storyline. One of the things this summer's critically acclaimed public theater production of Twelfth Night did was to use original music as a way of setting itself apart. The score was written and performed by Hem, a Brooklyn-based indie folk rock band known for what has been called a timeless sound. Hem recently released a CD of the music they created for Twelfth Night, including several songs that weren't played at the Delacorte this past summer. And Hem's pianist, Dan Massey, and guitarist Steve Curtis joined me now to discuss what it was like to perform in Central Park and record with some of the cast members, including Anne Hathaway. Welcome to our show.
Thank you, Leonard.
How faithful to the spirit of Elizabethan music did you feel you had to be? Were you worried at all about being anachronistic?
I think that our music has always been a little anachronistic. You know, whatever it is we do, whatever time period we're aiming for, it always sort of gets filtered through Brooklyn. So, yeah.
And you know, Daniel Sullivan's initial suggestion was that we bring in something kind of quasi-Celtic, British, Islesy. The musicians that we hired for the production are Celtic musicians, and it was only when we began to kind of infiltrate that through Hem's lens did we find something that felt more like our own.
Well, Dan, you played piano. There were no pianos at the time. And Steve, you would have been playing a lute rather than a guitar or a mandolin or a banjo, your usual instruments.
Yes, it was a matter of trying to draw this closer to something that we knew. Like,
well, the original concept for the score was that we would have most of it recorded with orchestral cues using like the Gowanus Radio Orchestra, which is what we call the ensemble that we use.
Gowanus is very Shakespearean.
I know. It sounds like it's not quite as nice as Avon, but...
Well, the other group is the Illyrian Marching Band. That does sound a bit closer to Shakespeare. Yeah.
Yes, that one, we get great joy of coming up with names for the various ensembles that we use to accompany us.
So did you perform on stage every night, the two of you?
I did. I became... when it became...
We drafted him.
Yes, I was volunteered by my compatriots. When it became clear that our recorded score would play a lower profile in the final performance, and the on-stage music would be the primary means for the music. We quickly realized that we needed somebody from our team on stage as well, and I was drafted with my guitar and sat there trying to pin things a little bit closer to something American and something Hemish.
Did they give you a name, or were you playing a role of sorts?
I wished I had designated myself with a name all along, but did not.
Tolly.
Yes, I was called many things off stage, but on stage I was...
Well, you're very tall. You were taller than anybody else in the cast, I'm sure.
That was actually our very first concern when I was volunteered. I was thrilled at the prospect of... I mean, never having been thespianic, I was also terrified, but honestly, our first concern is how are they going to put me next to people up on stage there? And Daniel Sullivan didn't bat an eye at that question.
Was there a suggestion that you'd play a lute? Because there are people who do. And
yeah.
Is it that different from a guitar?
It is quite different, and my couple of foibles with a lute would not have convinced anyone of that of that idea.
And I think the key was that we needed, once we realized that we'd basically written this score, and then we came in and sort of tried to present it, and I guess there really is no way to demo a Hem song, because if it's just me playing it on a piano, croaking it out with my sort of Kermit the Frog meets Joe Cocker voice, it takes a great leap of imagination and faith to sort of say it's going to actually sound like this, mm-hmm. And then play them a Hem album.
So when did you first hear the way it was really going to sound? During rehearsals?
It was this first weekend of full rehearsal with the company and the band that we had auditioned, this Illyrian marching band, and Daniel Sullivan. And I kept saying, well, this will be orchestral. and this will be recorded. And Daniel Sullivan just kept shaking his head. No.
We got to do it live.
Live,
yeah,
live.
He wanted there to be action on stage. We were also not a pit band. We were choreographed and on stage and costumed.
So. Well, there's no pit at the Delacorte. So you had to be in a kind of an orchestral area and then wander, and often musicians just wandered into the action. Was playing outdoors especially when it was raining half the time during those performances, if I remember correctly, was that more challenging than the play in a club?
It definitely raised all sorts of concerns. I mean, we had various sets of instruments that we would play depending on the climate of the day.
You didn't bring out your best guitar when it was raining bad?
No, not at all.
There was never a good day weather-wise that month.
It was a day that tried both the audiences and the performers pretty much night after night. But
Anne Hathaway talked on the show about having to contend with raccoons who'd wander on the stage. Did they also visit the orchestra?
They if there was a pit band at all, it was the raccoons wandering in and out. Yes,
Dan. Much of the music on the CD wasn't included in the Central Park production, including the duet "Full Fathom 5" that you wrote for cast members Anne Hathaway and Audra McDonald. Why did you write the song after did you think that you might have it in the show and it just didn't work out?
Basically, a little of both. Some were written before just to try to get a sense for what the characters would sound like. I wanted to sort of develop the themes based on the characters and then write the score around those themes. And then a lot of this stuff was just cut. Daniel Sullivan has a way of paring down things to, if it doesn't serve the drama, then cut it, which was a very torturous exercise and ultimately, liberating. But we sort of let go of it by saying, well, we'll put it on the CD.
Well, as beautiful as it is a bit impure because the lyrics are from The Tempest, aren't they?
Well, if you want to get picky about it, Leonard. Yeah.
But there's the example of Anne Hathaway's musical debut in the show. Are lyrics pulled from...
That's just pulled from a sonnet or a poem.
Yeah, pulled from a sonnet. Her character is... develops this notion that she's going to endear herself to Orsino's court by singing as a eunuch. And so Daniel Sullivan grasped that idea and said, you know what, let's write a musical moment into the production here where there previously wasn't one.
What about the cast members? Some of them have sung before. Some of them have been professional singers. Others may never have sung in theater in their whole careers.
Actually, one of my favorites was J.O. Saunders, who sang a
one
great deal.
One of the funniest men that ever lived.
Such a great guy and such a wonderful actor, and he cared so much about these songs that his character would sing. And I would write out for him these songs, and no matter what I wrote for him, they would sound the same. he would just do this... Sir Toby Belch. Mm-hmm. But he wanted them.
He did play the donkey in Midsummer Night's Dream in an early. Yeah. So he's allowed to bray whenever he wants.
And, and God knows, I would have my song sung by him any day. They certainly came across, but he definitely made them his own.
But others like Audra McDonald and Raul Esparza have sung professionally.
The fact that we couldn't use Audra more was the most heartbreaking part of the production, because her character was in mourning basically half the show, that it didn't make sense for her character to sing.
Now, this is not a musical, but in a sense you probably had to approach it as a musical, didn't you?
When we first met Daniel Sullivan, we walked up to him and we said two words: through song. We want to do the whole show through song.
And he turned white.
We pitched it as a musical, and we quickly were... Word. Dissuaded.
The presence of live music, though, was not alien to it. I mean, obviously Shakespeare wrote these songs into the script, and there's also this notion of performance that's stitched throughout it, too. These characters are masquerading themselves as something else all throughout, and so integrating live performance onto the stage did not feel as self-conscious as it might in other productions.
I don't mean this as an insulting question, but why him? Why not some early music group?
I don't know.
They approached you because they heard something in what you had done in the past?
I think the fact that Illyria doesn't exist, and Daniel Sullivan wanted to keep it to that spirit, and Hem is sort of a placeless, timeless folk, mm-hmm. It's got a certain melancholy wistfulness that I think allows the humor of the play to be broad and still maintain the heart. I mean, I can't speak for why they chose us. I'm glad they did.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're more edgy than a traditional group might have been. At the same time, the whole production had a certain kind of edge to it. Maybe they understood that. I don't know whether you forced it into those directions or they forced you into that direction. But it obviously worked. Everybody loved it.
They gave us. There was no real direction aside from do what you do. But once we did what we did, it was quickly taken from us.
Well, it was actively, it was formed on a daily basis.
Yes.
Up through the previews and up to opening night. It was very actively being formed day to day.
How does this fit in, this music, with the other things you've done? Twelfth Night is your fourth album. You have another one coming out this spring, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Departure and Farewell. How does it fit in? I don't know. It's unto itself.
Yeah, it's an anomaly in that our sound has traditionally been very much hung around the voice of our singer, Sally Ellison. So to have a Hem production that doesn't feature her voice at all, where she's an emeritus Hem member, is a stretch.
Well, her first recording was a collection of lullabies. Yes. There's nothing like a lullaby here.
No. Come Away Death is probably as close as we come to a typical Hem song. And I think it's my favorite song of the production. It definitely was my favorite moment in the show every night.
Well, how familiar were you with Twelfth Night before you started this whole thing?
It was the first Shakespeare show I'd ever seen, and definitely my favorite one.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean when you were much younger?
Yeah, when I was much younger. I went to Stratford up in Canada and saw it, and I remember kicking and screaming all the way up there and loving it when I was there.
Now, the CD also includes some traditional songs, A Rose in the Heather, a Kerry Polka.
Yes. The musicians who formed the Illyrian Marching Band were all very skilled in the ways and means of British Isles music, and so it was an act of patience and compromise on their part to bring what they do toward Hem. But there were many moments where Daniel Sullivan wanted something that sounded much more straight up Celtic-ish, and those were moments where these musicians just absolutely shone, and I was along for the ride, basically.
So, you think you're going to be doing more Shakespeare in the Park?
If the invitations come, by all means.
How long does it take to put something like this together?
It was 3 months.
Yeah.
It felt like 3 years. It was definitely one of the harder 3 months of our lives, but well worth it in the end.
Yeah, dramatists work long days as we
the work to reward ratio is it's I don't know. It's both good and bad.
Yes.
Well, earlier music from the public theater productions, like Hair,
yeah.
Chorus Line, have become part of the American Songbook. We can only hope.
From your mouth to God's ear.
Yes.
Meanwhile, we do have this CD on Waveland Network called 12th Night from Hem, and Hem's composer, pianist Dan Massey, and it's string instrument and percussionist.
Exactly.
You played percussion during the show as well.
I did.
Steve Curtis have been my guests. It's been a great pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Fathom five, the